And we are live at Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge out here in Germantown, hanging out for the pregame show. We have already, by the way, scouted out the Titan Up Blue Margarita out here. They got the drinks already and flowing for today's kickoff for the Titans and the Raiders. Out here, it's the pregame show. Former Titans receiver from The Ohio State University. Tippy toes himself, Chris Sanders.
Man, what's going on? You doing all right?
I'm doing great. And, of course, Derek Mason as well with us here on the program. So let's get right into it. The 0-2 Titans, the 0-2 Raiders. I don't think we all expected the Titans to be the best team in the NFL, but I also don't think that we expected the Titans to be staring down the barrel of 0-3. And going into today's game with the injuries that the Titans have, Taylor Lewan is out, and he's out for the season. Dennis Daly will play left tackle. Bud Dupree is out. Ola Adeniyi is out. I am hearing that it is unlikely that Kyle Phillips will play tonight. Now, Dontrell Hilliard and Christian Fulton with the hamstrings are going to try to give it a go in the warm-ups, not to make everything about injuries, but again, the situation they're in playing a Raiders team that is also 0-2. Derek, it's uncomfortable today.
It is very uncomfortable. It's like, you know, you're walking in the ring, you're the matador. Or newly matador, you walk into the ring with the bull, and it's like, this is uncomfortable. Did I really want to do this?
I don't want this.
I don't want none of that bull. They got beat up last week, the Titans. And then losing your left tackle, and then losing your guy that moves the chains that Ryan felt very comfortable with in Kyle Phillips. He shouldn't have played last week, but he tried to give it a go, and you saw that he was hampered. He didn't do much in a game, but now he's potentially out this week as well. This team, they got a lot of just digging down deep to do in this game, because if they don't, going down 0-3, I know it's not a division loss, but it's still a conference loss, and you don't want to get down 0-3 in this conference, because now you all but certain must win your division in order to get into the playoffs.
You know, just kind of looking at the whole situation, what's the identity of this team? I mean, you're looking at the offense that's struggling, looking at the defense that last year they were one of the best, and you're like, okay, what's the identity of this team? I mean, I know they lost against the Bills. I know they did some terrible things. But I just have that gut feeling you can't count them out yet. I know you're looking at me crazy, Derek's like, what the heck are you talking about? But Mike Vrabel strives in this position, because if you look at last year when he had a lot of guys out and everybody was counting them out, he was consistently pumping up his team and saying, it doesn't matter who's in, guys got to make plays. I know that sounds cliche-ish. I know it sounds coach talk. But at the end of the day, I just have this gut feeling that he's going to figure out a way to pull out this victory.
This is the kind of game that they do find a way to win.
Yeah.
You know, and that may be the only thing that I guess I am taking with a huge grain of salt, is that it does feel like these games where they have so many injuries that I look at it and I think they have no chance to win, that they go out there and they find a way to win. The problem is, in my opinion, Derek, they have no tackles against Max Crosby and Chandler Jones of the Raiders, and they're going to have no pass rush with Bud Dupree, Harold Landry, and Ola Adeniyi all out today. They'll have no pass rush, which means Derek Carr can stand there in the pocket as long as he wants and wait for Davante Adams to get open. And as we saw last week, when a good quarterback – now, that quarterback was better than this quarterback, but Carr's still pretty good. When a good quarterback can stand in the pocket and wait for his elite wide receiver to get open, the guy will get open. And that could be against Deion Sanders. The Titans do not have Deion Sanders out there at corner – and I just find it very hard to believe that the team can overcome that given the situation they're in. I will say this, you know, the division is pretty bad, so 0-3 may not be the typical 0-3. If the Raiders go 0-3, their season's over in that division. If the Titans go 0-3, they could, in theory, get themselves out of it, but I generally, you guys have been on teams. You guys have been on an 0-3 team, and it was the worst team that you guys were on as members of the Titans. 0-3 means you're not pretty good. You're not good at all. Well, if you're not good at all, then these games that we look at, like Washington in a couple of weeks, that we think, oh, they'll beat Washington, I don't know, because Washington's not very good, but you're not very good. So it makes me really nervous, the idea of them starting the season 0-3.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to make everyone in that building nervous if indeed they do start 0-3. because now that's a large hole that they got up. Yeah. Now you have no margin for error moving forward, because now you get into division play. And when you get into division play, you look at Jacksonville, they're playing really well. Houston is not an easy out. And something is in me telling me that Indianapolis, now that Pittman is back, now that they're getting some of their guys that was hurt back, they're going to end up being the team that goes on a run and could potentially be between Jacksonville and Indianapolis in this division, because the Titans are – Indianapolis is going one way in regards to their injuries.
Sure.
And the Titans is going the opposite way. They're losing guys, and we're only, what, three games into the season. So, I mean, it's – them going down 0-3, it's going to be a big hole to dig out of in the AFC.
Yeah.
But like you said, their saving grace is that we don't know what this AFC South is right now.
Yeah, the AFC South is really, really bad. I mean, you got the Jacksonville Jaguars. You got the Colts that look like an okay team. But we look like an okay team. I mean, it's the exact same thing. But I think the disappointing part about the whole situation is the expectation level was so high. I mean, you got the defense coming in this league and saying that they were going to be great this year. But then the defense is terrible. Then you have the offense that everybody's expecting Treylon Burks to do well, and you know the coming back of Derrick Henry, and then it's kind of like they're laying the egg. So the expectation level was high, but then you're looking at the performance, and the performance is absolutely bad.
Jared, here's what I believe is sort of the misconception about great defenses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And people looked at the Titans this year. Well, they were really good last year, and then this year they should be. Take another step up and be great. Great defenses are not the 11 that's on the field. It's the backups, too.
Yep.
Right now, the Titans have no depth. So they're seeing now, once Harold Landry goes down, now Bud Dupree's down, you got some injuries in the secondary. This team, this great defense, was one or two players from being a bad defense.
Yep.
We see it now, because now with no Harold Landry, with no Bud Dupree, all of the pressure is going to fall on Jeffrey Simmons and Danico Autry to get to the passer, and obviously Weaver. Well, they're going to double Jeffrey Simmons. Buffalo did a good job with Jeffrey Simmons last week on Monday Night Football. What do you think the Oakland Raiders are going to do now that Bud Dupree's not in the game?
Oh, I mean, Simmons, this is going to be like 2020 all over again. And this is the thing I try to explain to people, because before the season, probably about a week before the season, I kind of just dropped my head and I was like, you don't just lose Harold Landry and A.J. Brown and be a better football team. I mean, Harold Landry is an $18 million a year player.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A.J. Brown is a $26 million a year player. You don't just lose $40 million worth of players and stay the same or get better. And this kind of, I heard you, Derek, during the week, compare this team to the 2004 Titans. And we all remember that, you know, the team was competing for a Super Bowl in 2003. And then this was when the salary cap was real and it caught up to the Titans. And so Kevin Carter's gone and Derek's gone and Samari Rolla is gone and Eddie George is gone. And all of a sudden it's a 5-win football team. And I don't think this is going to be a 5-win football team, but I definitely think that the Titans had built themselves in a way where not only did everything have to go right in order for them to maintain the level that they were at previously, but there was a lot of pitfalls for what could go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like not only have some of the things that they didn't account for, like Landry tearing his ACL, that's gone wrong, but some of the things that we kind of worried about, you know, Bud Dupree's an injury question mark. Now he's injured. Taylor Lewan has been an injury question mark. Now he's injured. They have a 270-pound offensive guard, which they thought, you know, he's been an okay backup. Let's slide him in there. Like, he's 270 pounds.
Yeah.
I mean, that's you can't play guard in the NFL at 270 pounds consistently. They thought that they could play Dylan Raidens at right tackle. That obviously blew up in their face. So a lot of the things that they thought they could get away with, those have all gone negatively, and they've had the injury problems. And really, in my opinion, it just puts more on Henry and Tannehill. But it's harder for Henry and Tannehill because they're the only two guys out there.
I think the biggest loss, and we're starting to see it right now, is A.J. Brown. I mean, because we need those explosive plays. I'm gonna tell you a statistic that's gonna really blow your mind. Look at Burks last week. He was 4 for 47. Woods was 4 for 39. Westbrook was 1 for 13. They have zero touchdowns. Zero touchdowns in the last two games. So where's the explosive plays coming from? You're not getting it from Henry because every team is sold out to stop the run. So they're getting man-to-man outside, and they're not getting separation. So where is the explosive plays that we need? So that's exactly why we're not seeing the offense doing what they're supposed to do, because they lost a great player in A.J. Brown.
Well, I mean, they lost another, playmaker in their offense, and Hilliard, he's down. He was at least one guy that caused mismatch problems with linebackers coming.
Yeah, he's going to warm up today. He's going to try to give it a go.
Well, if he can play, then that'd be great. But, I mean, dealing with a hamstring, it's like it's hit or miss. You can start the game off well, and by, the second series, now you're limping back and forth in, and then eventually by halftime you're done, which it hurts the team because now they activated you and deactivated someone else. Here's what the Titans, I believe, messed up on. They were trying to do – the Rams got away with it, and we've seen other teams get away with it at times. They load up on veterans to win it right now, okay? And it worked for the Rams. It worked for Tampa Bay.
Yep.
It's worked for some of these other teams. Well, the Titans, they tried it, but they went out and got broken parts. How can you say, well, we want to win now and then bring in broken parts?
Well, not only that, the Rams aren't trading away AJ.
Exactly.
If Tom Brady goes to Tampa Bay, they're not trading AJ Brown. We're trying to win now.
We're trading somebody else away, but right. Not him.
Yeah.
And they've tried to – I commend them that they tried to win now, and they had teams that win now, but later on they tried to add pieces to this team that were broke.
Yeah.
But see, I wonder if that's the difference between how they felt about their team going into last year and how they feel about their team going into this year. And what I mean by that is – going into last year, they made the trade for Julio Jones, and I was against it, but I said when they made it, I go, the message to you, all the fans, is they think they can win a Super Bowl, because you don't trade a second-round pick and take on the money for Julio Jones unless you think that's the missing piece from a Super Bowl.
Exactly.
Well, a lot of us, me included, believed that after what Tannehill did in the playoffs, that Tannehill can only get this team so far, and then in the AFC – it's going to be three games against Patrick Mahomes or Russell Wilson or Josh Allen or Joe Burrow or these great quarterbacks, and that Tannehill can't beat them three times. He might be able to beat them once, but he's not going to be able to beat them three times and then have to go beat a Rodgers or a Brady or one of those guys in the Super Bowl. What if the Titans said to themselves, like, we can't win a Super Bowl with Tannehill? Because that's the only explanation that would make sense for going young at right tackle and saying, let's see, because that's what they did. That's the only explanation. Again, to my point, if you're the Rams and you realize you can't win the Super Bowl with Jared Goff, and so you trade for Matthew Stafford, you're not trading away A.J. Brown, because that team has to win the Super Bowl right then to justify what you did. With this team, if they're like, well, we're kind of stuck with Tannehill, but let's think about what's out there down the road, and nothing comes available that is a market upgrade from Tannehill, because it's hard to upgrade off of Tannehill. But there's nothing out there. Did the Titans look at it and say, you know what, let's start planning for the future. Let's trade AJ for Burks. Let's get more picks. Let's draft a quarterback. Let's put a rookie, right tackle out there. Is that what happened here?
There's a possibility. You're right about Ryan Tanner. He's good enough that you can't trade him unless you're getting an elite quarterback.
Right.
It's not like you can trade him away for Jimmy G and say, okay.
I'm not moving off of him for
exactly,
Baker Mayfield.
Absolutely. So if you're moving off of him, it's for Brady or one of these other quarterbacks that you know will get you to the Super Bowl. And once you get there, they have the ability to win it for you. So this team found themselves in a situation where, in the early 2000s, they sort of kicked the can down the street to try to hold this team together. But the one thing they didn't realize, they never foresaw themselves trading away A.J. Brown.
Because Hooper and Woods, that's a good.
Exactly, absolutely.
With A.J. Brown.
So they never saw themselves trading away A.J. Brown. They thought we can get a deal done in the ballpark that they wanted to get it done in regards to money. But when A.J. started causing this fuss and, in the social media and all this stuff, the Titans took another direction because as a organization, they don't want to have to deal with that because they wanted to set a precedent. Like, listen, you getting a contract, the best way for you to get a contract is to not go through social media. Mm-hmm. You see what's happened with Big Jeff. He's not said a word. Mm-hmm. Derrick Henry didn't say a word. These guys are Kevin Byer, Hooker. These guys didn't say a word. Why? Because they understand that, listen, if I'm going to get a deal done, it's not going to help me by going on social media and blasting this team.
Mm-hmm. But excuse me, just like with Ryan Tannehill, can any quarterback thrive in this offense? Just be honest, honestly. I mean, honestly,
I think they can, but you have to be an assertive quarterback and a quarterback that has proven you've done it. But
you have to be a great quarterback to do
but see,
and those are hard to get.
But see, the thing about it is look at the offensive line. Look at the weapons that he has around him. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know, you know, as a quarterback, you got to make everybody better. But look at what you have around him. You have an offensive line that's, you know, you got your left tackle hurting. You got different guys that are switching different positions. So how is Tannehill supposed to thrive when he doesn't have the necessities to win?
Hold that thought. We'll take a look at the big four storylines. We'll move the chains, and we'll do that coming up next here on the pregame show. Again, we are live out at Sonny's. This is a pregame spot. That's right. They got cabanas, each equipped with their own TVs, which is perfect. If you want to watch your team, because they got the Sunday ticket,
they got Mr.
you
want
to watch your team out here, come on out. Rent one of these cabanas. Of course, it's a great spot. And again, they've got football specials Monday through Thursday and on Sunday, 6 to close on Monday and Thursdays. And all day today, $20 Montucky cold snack beer buckets, $8 Dickel 8-year bourbon drinks, $7 Rise and Shine shots, and $5 Bloody Marys. And of course, they got the frozen margs and everything else all ready to go. That's right. Out here at Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge out here in Germantown. It's the pregame show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. On the pregame show here at Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge out here in Germantown, Jared Stillman, Derek Mason, Chris Sanders. It's time now to move the chains, presented by TriStar Moving, my official movers. TriStar Moving with 5-star service. We start with first down. First down. Injuries, injuries, injuries. Taylor Lewan, we'll start with him. Out for the season. It was one play, so one game and one play for Taylor Lewan. He's out. Dennis Daly will start at left tackle. Guys, I think this may be the end of Taylor Lewan as a Tennessee Titan.
Yeah, it is. You know, there was rumblings that, at the beginning of this year, the league year, that Taylor would be one of those guys that would be a cap casualty. But he wasn't, and it was the right move to bring him back. Mm-hmm. But now I think he's too long in the tooth for them. He's had too many injuries at that position, and they need to find them a left tackle in the first round this year, or either bring in a veteran guy, you know, not too veteran, but a veteran guy that has proven himself in his league that's a really good player. But I think they are – this was probably what they – in regards to their decision,
mm-hmm.
I think this made it for them. Obviously, they're going to let him rehab, make sure he comes back, but they can't sit back and bring him back again for $15, $16, $17 million coming off an ACL or MCL, whatever it was.
I mean, you just can't do that. I mean, everybody talks about him being a great, you know, left tackle, but you can be a great left tackle, but if you're not in the game, you can't make plays. And if you just look at his whole career, he'll play a couple of games good, but then also he'll be sitting on the sideline, he'll be injured. And I just think that – this is just my opinion. I think that he makes so much noise off the field that this is going to make the decision easier because he got hurt and let him go, kind of like what Derek is talking about, because he just hasn't been on the field, and all the stuff off the field just adds more to it.
See, I don't even think it's that. I think it's the idea of he will probably go to them and say, hey, what if I take a pay cut? What if instead of $15 million next year I make $5 million with some incentives? And they'll still say no, because even for $5 million, if the guy can't stay healthy, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And so I think that's probably it for his career.
But even also just above that, this is just my opinion, I don't think he's played consistent.
He has not been good.
I mean, we can
since he's gotten that contract, and I'm not saying it's because of the contract, but
he
hasn't been a consistent player on his team.
Yeah, I mean, you're 100%. Look at the play when they went against the what was the first team they played against?
Giants.
The Giants. That when Chig got the speed sweep, mm-hmm. who busted on an assignment? It was Taylor Lewan.
Yeah.
So we can talk about Taylor Lewan being great and maybe bringing him back. But I, in my opinion, all the years he's been here, he hasn't been that consistent, dominant player like he was in Michigan.
That takes us to second down. Derrick Henry has struggled so far this season. Now, I have watched the tape, and I will tell you all, not really sure that it's Derrick Henry's fault, but we know that this team only goes as far as Derrick will take them. So far this season, it has been tough sledding, including on Monday night, 13 carries for 25 yards, 1.9 yards per carry for Derrick Henry. Chris Sanders, yes. What are they going to do with this offensive line to get the run game going?
I mean, it's tough. I mean, if you look at what the Bills did, they made him stop his feet, and they were shooting a gap. Because when the Tennessee Titans went inside-outside zone, the offensive line is not blocking a player. They're blocking a gap. And what happened was the Bills were shooting a gap, and he's in the backfield. He's stopping his feet, and he's running side to side. Because when you run that outside zone and inside zone, you're making one stick move, and you're going. But he can't get started. And a lot of times we can blame Derrick Henry. We can say all the injury. We can say all those things. But it goes back to the offensive line. If the offensive line isn't running to their gap and not being physical at the line of scrimmage, how you expect a guy like that to make plays?
I understand the narrative outside of Nashville. It's, well, Derrick Henry, it seems like he slowed down. And, you know, I told you, you know, those years where the 300-plus carries has caught up with them. No. But that's people that haven't seen this team closely and understand that it's not Derrick Henry that's the problem. It's the offensive line that's the problem. I go back to, you know, when Derrick first became a starter, when he first started, you know, getting in this offense consistently, well, everybody pointed at Derrick Henry. The cat was still averaging over 4 yards a pop, but our offensive line was gelling. Yeah. And once they finally gelled together with Derrick Henry, the ability Derrick Henry has, you saw what happened over that 2.5 year span. It would have been 3 had he not got hurt. Now they're reverting right back to where they once was. If the man can't even get an opportunity to get started,
I know.
You know, up the field, how do you expect him to be explosive like he was prior to his injury? So, to me, it has nothing to do with Derrick Henry. It has all to do with the offensive line. And saying that, I don't think the season is going to be good for him. Because the offensive line is just not good.
Yeah, and there's two things that's going on here is the communication. When you got two guys blocking the same guy, which you showed me on your – two guys are blocking the same guy, that means that the communication is at fault. And then number two is there's a lot of unblocked players that's running through the gap. And when you have a lot of unblocked players running through the gap, just like what Derrick said, how you expect a guy to get started when he can't even get started because there's 4 or 5 guys in his face.
That takes us to third down. The Titans are 0-2. The Raiders are 0-2. According to this, dating back to 1979 when the NFL expanded the playoffs, only 6 teams ever have made the playoffs after starting 0-3. The latest was the 2018 Texans that started 0-3 and then won 9 straight to finish the season 11-5. They ended up winning the AFC South that year. We know the division is not very good. Derek, how much of a death sentence is an 0-3 start for the Tennessee Titans if they can't beat the Raiders today?
Well, they will. It's not a total death sentence. They're still on the respirator, so they still have an opportunity. You're still breathing. It's looking a little bleak, but you're still breathing. And you still have an opportunity to sort of get yourself better, get your body, get your team better, and move forward. And the only reason is it's because of the South, you know, the AFC South. Again, we talked, if this is the AFC West, the East or North, 0-3, you're out of it. You're done. Yeah. But because this is the AFC South, you know, they still have an opportunity. Even if they lose this game, they still have an opportunity to make the playoffs. So I think that stat will start to change drastically now that they've added an extra playoff team to the picture. And these divisions, the way they're set up, some divisions may be a little bit tougher than others, so you may be able to start off 0-3 or 0-4 as long as they're not division games.
I just think for 0-3, just the mentality of the team. I mean, when you talk about playing those teams later on down the road, like the Commanders and, you know, Washington and all that, you know, can you even beat these teams? I mean, can you beat them? I mean, if you can't win the games that you're supposed to win, like the Giants game, the first game, how are you going to feel any different by going against the Commanders? So I understand that, you know, the AFC South. AFC South is absolutely awful, but just the mentality of the team. Can we win the game? Can we make plays? Can we start to put this thing together? And if they have the attitude that they can't, then, man, it could be a long season.
I think that next week's game against the Colts, regardless of what happens in this game, is an absolute must win.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that this is kind of a must win. I just don't believe that teams can, generally speaking, come back from 0-3. And I don't think this roster, with the quarterbacks they're going to have to play down the road, can come back from 0-3.
Well, you know what? It depends on what happens this week in the games. Yeah. You got Jacksonville, who plays
Chargers.
The Chargers. The Chargers may be without their quarterback. Indy plays the Chiefs. Indy's getting some of their players back. So it all depends on what happens this week in regards to their division. If those teams win, Jacksonville and Indianapolis, even if Jacksonville wins, this pushes the Titans even further away from even winning their division.
Mm-hmm. Coming up, we'll take a look at the offense. Bunch of injuries, guys that may be in, guys that may be out, what it means. We'll get into that coming up inside the playbook. We are live once again out here at Sonny's in Germantown, where once again, I mean, they got all the TVs up here for all of the games today on a Sunday. And all of them, not even just Titans, all of them, out here at Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge out here in Germantown. It's a pregame show, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Inside the Playbook is presented by Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company here on the pregame show, and the Titans could use an ounce of hope, both literally and figuratively, today against the Raiders. Dennis Daly will play left tackle. Taylor Lewan out today, out for the season. And Kyle Phillips was listed as doubtful to play with a shoulder. I'm hearing that Phillips is not going to play. Dontrell Hilliard, though, will try to give it a go in warmups to test out that hamstring. So let's start on offense right now. The Raiders have two legitimate pass rushers, Chandler Jones, who was once very, very good, who's now just good, and Max Crosby, who is very, very good. They've got physical linebackers and safeties, and the Titans right now aren't blocking very well. Treylon Burks is being relied on more in the offense after the first week, in which he wasn't really relied on more in the second week. Derek, let's start with you. You're Todd Downing. You're trying to put together a plan in which you can manage your offensive line versus their pass rushers. How do they do it today?
It's going to be a tough task. I know Chandler Jones isn't what he once was, but, you know, as long as you got Max Crosby on the other side, it leaves you with one-on-one blocks. Mm-hmm. Now, if that was Taylor Lewan over there, fully healthy Taylor Lewan, then it would be a different story. But it's not Taylor Lewan. It's Daly. And, you know, they're going to put as much pressure on this offensive line as they possibly can. And why wouldn't they? This offensive line hasn't proven that they can block consistently. They're down a man. They're playing rookies. What Oakland is going – not Oakland, but Vegas Raiders, what they're going to do is – and I watched film of them in their last game. They're going to load the box, and they're going to play you man-to-man.
Yes, they are.
And they're going to force you to beat them throwing the football. Yep. What does that mean? Derrick Henry is not going to get the creases that he's used to. And
takes away the play action.
Exactly. It takes away the play. It is going to put a lot of pressure on those tackles to block those ends. So I expect, unless they come up with a game plan of just max protect,
right,
and a lot of two-man routes, it's going to be a long day for those, especially for those tackles, but for that whole offensive line in general.
Man, you made a good point. You said two-man routes. They should go like a 12 personnel, one back, two tight ends to protect Tannehill, because you better believe that pass rush is coming. I mean, them big dogs are coming. So what you do is, if you're going to throw the ball and try to beat one-on-one coverage, you got to make sure you protect Tannehill, because if you can't protect Tannehill and he can't get the ball off and he can't throw the ball to his receivers, then it's definitely going to be a long day. But here's the thing that we definitely have to have. I know we talked about the running game. I know we talked about the offensive line that's struggling. But somebody on the perimeter has to make some plays.
So I do believe.
They have to.
Just from what I can gather, I think that's the plan with Josh Gordon, who's been elevated up off the practice squad.
I mean, you got to do something, because if just like what Derek said, if they go man-to-man across the board, you don't need to go to your progression. You just throw it up and let one of those big receivers make a catch. You can't sit back there with Crosby and those guys coming and go through a 5- and 7-step drop. You're going to get your teeth knocked out.
So I'm with you guys. I would assume that the Raiders are probably banking on the fact that if they send any extra pressure at all, they'll get home before those guys can get open anyways. And if the Titans decide to run the ball with Derrick Henry, they'll just hit Derrick Henry on the way to the quarterback. The one thing I would say, though, is, and Buffalo was able to do this, Buffalo was able to get pressure with four.
See,
and if you can get pressure with four, then you can drop everybody, and the Titans don't have any receivers. If they drop seven against four, the Titans don't have any receivers that can make plays, and that I wonder if that's the plan the Raiders are going to go with, which is, well, we know Crosby's going to beat PT. Even if they double him with Petit Ferrer and Davis, he's just going to run up the field past them. So if they can get pressure with four against Tannehill, game's over.
If that happens, then I don't know what the Tennessee Titans could do, because even if you figure, okay, we got at least Treylon Burks out there that can make a play. Well, they got the field covered, because they feel if we only rush four and get to the passer with four, or we even put pressure on the passer with four, why do we need to blitz? Buffalo didn't do it. The Giants didn't do it much. They were able to get penetration with just four or five guys.
You know, I think what Todd Downing has to do is he needs to take a little bit of the playbook, what they did to Arkansas with Burks. And you just got to get him a quick screen and let him make something happen. I mean, because the thing about it is you can't sit back there and go through a five and step foot drop and expect those guys to get open when you have four and five guys in your face. You just can't do it. You got to have those quick passes and let those guys make plays. And the only guy that on this roster that can basically do that is Treylon Burks. I don't know if Woods can do it. I don't know if those other guys can do it, but they got to figure it out.
Well, I think they're going to test Oakland early. I think they're going to do exactly what they did last week. Look for the ball to be tossed to Treylon Burks, or try to get him the ball at least three times in that first drive.
Well, they don't have anybody else with talent that can catch the ball.
Yeah, you're right about that. But my thing is, they want to – who they feel is their playmaker, they want to get him involved.
Yep. Sure, absolutely.
And they did it last game, and it worked out for him in that first drive. Yep. They're going to have to do it this game, and they're going to have to do it consistently, because the opportunities are going to be there
100%.
To make plays. So, I mean, Downing is just going to have to dial it up. Like, listen, we're going to be a pass first, max protect, and then run instead of run first and try to pick up on the pass.
Here's what bothers me. I don't love these specialty players, and every team has them, but the block first tight end. Mm-hmm. But the block first tight end has become the block only tight end in the NFL. Now, you guys played with a guy by the name of Michael Roan, who, when Roner. He would go out there, that dude could block.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he may not catch anything, but he could block, right?
Uh-huh.
So they got this Jeff Swaim on the team. This guy can't block. The fullback, Carter, he can't block. Did you watch the fullback try to block last week?
It wasn't good.
He can't block. What's the point of having these guys on the team? Like, I understand. If this guy is a block first tight end, and you can run a play action pass and toss it over when everybody thinks it's going to be a run, so everybody commits to the line of scrimmage and you toss it over right there to the running back or to the tight end who catches it because there's nobody covering him and he gains 9 yards. Great. The problem is that Swaim can't block, Carter can't block. And so they put these guys in there to max protect and to jumbo package it, but it doesn't matter. Because they can't block.
You talking about blocking?
Well, I mean, in the history of this organization since it's been here, they've had that yin and a yang, whether it was Wycheck and Roan, Aaron Kinney, and Wycheck toward the end of his years, because Aaron Kinney was not only a heck of a pass blocker, but he was good at catching the ball.
Yeah, Aaron Kinney was good. This team would kill for Aaron Kinney.
Absolutely.
Right now.
Absolutely. And he was like a your sixth offensive lineman because he was so big. This team this year, they pride themselves on that, but they don't have the personnel to do that. Mm-hmm. They don't have an Aaron Kinney. They don't have a Roan. They don't have these,
Wycheck,
these guys that
Craig Stevens,
yeah. Guys that can block, but also catch the ball as well. But their main purpose is to be that extra offensive lineman. This year, they don't have it.
I think the Titans need to decide to let Austin Hooper try to block.
And no, that's a no.
I know he's not good at it.
Jerry, no.
Stop it.
No.
Swing and a miss.
You know he's not a blocker.
Swing
and a miss. Swaim's not a blocker, but he's also not a catcher.
come on, man.
But I would let Chig block before Austin Hooper block.
100%. Fine. But whatever, let's say that's the decision you make, Chig Okonkwo is my starting tight end then. Because what I can't do is, and this is driving me nuts, and it is, let's run the pass-catching group off the field, run the blocking group on the field, but then the blocking guys that we put in when we run them onto the field can't block. I don't mind the idea of, hey, this is our big package. If I knew I was getting a push when the big package came into the game, well, I don't mind that. But what I mind is that they got a 270-pound guard. They got a blocking tight end who can't block. They got a fullback who can't block. And then they're expecting Derrick Henry to do something about it. And as he's getting pitched the ball, there's four Buffalo Bills that are already in the backfield ready to tackle him.
Well, don't be surprised that, you know, going into game six or seven that Chig is not the starting tight end. I'm calling it right now because I don't think Hooper – people thought, well, that was just the Cleveland Browns. That was the Cleveland Browns and Baker Mayfield. Well, everything ain't Baker's fault, and everything ain't the Cleveland Browns. Well, right. I guess it would be the Cleveland Browns' fault because they brought him in as a free agent. Mm-hmm. The guy is not a top-flight premier tight end. He's not. He's a second fiddle. He's a good player, but he's not someone that's going to scare you in the passing game. And definitely he's not going to do anything for you in the blocking game. Yeah. So, they whiffed on this pick. I'm calling it after two games.
I get so bothered by that, but more so, if this team's going to win today, because Todd Downing's been facing a lot of criticism.
It ain't just him.
But they were tied 7-7 on Monday night and threw a 17-yard screen pass to Robert Woods to put the ball at the Buffalo 30, and Ben Jones got called for a face mask.
Yeah.
And so, if they're going to win – they can't have any of the good players do anything wrong. Tannehill, Henry, Jones, Nate Davis, who was awful on Monday night, Robert Woods, all those guys have to do what they're capable of. And then to your point, they need something nice from Treylon Burks, or they need a little something.
I mean, it's all on Todd Downing. Todd Downing.
What do you think of the Downing criticism?
I think it's unfair. And the reason why I think it's unfair to an extent is – yeah, he calls the plays, but the players have to execute. I mean, they have to. Look at I talked about it earlier, the situation in the first game. If LaJuan just makes his block, we wouldn't be talking about it. I understand that you shouldn't put on fourth and one, you're in the wildcat. I understand that. But if Derrick Henry catches the ball like he usually catches it and makes the play, then we wouldn't be talking about it. So I know everybody's talking about Todd Downing, but at the end of the day, the players have to execute.
Yeah, the offensive coordinator is only as good as the players he has on the field. 2 years ago, had Todd Downing been the play caller of A.J. Brown, Davis, Derrick Henry rushing for 2,000.
Dennis Kelly right tackle.
Exactly. Then if he's the coordinator, they're doing a good job. They're moving down the field. They have no problem. But because he's the offensive coordinator of a guy just coming off an ACL, Robert Woods, a rookie receiver, another rookie receiver, offensive line that is beat up and not good from the jump, and a running back that, you know, is coming off a foot injury. But that's not the problem. The problem is the offensive line. So when you bring all that together, it's not going to make for an offense or a coordinator to have explosive days. He's going to have to really design plays and take advantage of every opportunity that he has. He's going to motion, trips, screens. Yep. He has to do everything and be creative because this team is not good enough to just line up and beat you.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point, Derek, but how do you be creative when your offensive line is just awful?
Especially against this team with their pass rushers.
Yeah, you know,
what do
you're
do?
Right.
What do you do? I mean, just imagine me, you being offensive coordinator. You know, you wear the little shorts and the hat down. but just imagine just being an offensive coordinator's team, and I'm saying this respectfully, you know, from a coach to another. How do you call plays if you're getting penetration and things like that to where the offensive line is giving up big plays? What do you do? I mean, how do you call a game?
On the other side, we'll take a look at the defense because I don't know how the Titans are going to get pressure with Bud Dupree out, Ola Adeniyi out, and obviously Harold Landry's been out for the season. We'll do that next. We're live at Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge out here in Germantown. This will be the spot that we will be here all season long for the Titan home games. And, again, they have got the frozen drinks ready to go, and I keep staring at that blue one. They tell me that is the Titan Up Margarita.
It's crazy.
I just keep staring at it.
Go get you a sip.
I probably should. But it's the pregame show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Inside the Playbook is presented by the Ounce of Hope Cannabis Company. Let's take a look at the defense here for the Titans. The Raiders, let's just go by the important players here. Mm-hmm. The Raiders have Derek Carr at quarterback, Josh Jacobs at running back, Darren Waller, who's a Pro Bowl tight end. Now, Hunter Renfrow is out today. Mm-hmm. Mac Hollins, who is a deep threat, and Davante Adams, who is like the Nia Long of wide receivers for the Raiders out there. The Titans will be without Harold Landry, who tore his ACL. We know he's been out for the season. Bud Dupree, who's out with a hip injury. Ola Adeniyi, who is out with a neck injury, which means the Titans have one outside backer that is going to be available to them today. Now, they added Wyatt Ray, and they added a guy from the Steelers a couple of weeks ago. But on their initial 53-man roster, one outside backer, Rashad Weaver, who is by definition a backup, trying to rush Derek Carr, who's got Davante Adams and all those weapons. Chris, how do they get it done today?
I mean, they're going to have to figure it out. And the thing about it is the one thing that the defense is doing is they're not putting pressure on the quarterback, and the quarterbacks are sitting back there, can make plays. And what it's doing is it's making the secondary have to cover. Mm-hmm. I mean, when they have to cover, we don't have the personnel to cover those guys. So what they have to do is they got to make the Raiders make mistakes. Derek Carr is prone to making mistakes. He's prone to throwing the interceptions and not allow them to give up the explosive plays. If they give up the explosive plays with Davante Adams and give up the big runs and missing tackles like they did last week, then I think it's going to be a long day.
Well, this team is the sixth worst defense in the National Football League.
Now, in fairness, they played the Bills, and not everybody else has played the
Bills.
But
they played the Giants as well. Yeah. And they gave up over 100 yards, almost 200 yards, if not 200 yards, rushing. This team has given up 230-some yards passing and 169 yards rushing. They might be the worst rush team, well, next to the Bears. They might be the worst team at stopping a run at this particular time of the season. Mm-hmm. And you would – If you told me this at the beginning of the season before the Giant game, I would laugh you out of the building, because my thing, they have Dupree, they had, more importantly, got Jeffrey Simmons and Denico Autry. This team is not – they may be bad in the pass, pass defense, but they're not going to be bad in run defense. Mm-hmm. Well, they're bad in both. Mm-hmm. And that's not a good recipe going up against a high-powered offense that not only can pass the ball, but Jacobs is running like a monster, man, too. He's running physical and downhill.
Yeah, but see, the thing about it is, once they commit to stopping the run, who's going to cover those guys, those receivers in the secondary? Because if you look at Farley, if you look at McCrary, if you look at those guys in the secondary.
Well, let's not put Farley and McCrary together. Yeah, McCrary's good and Farley's not.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is who's going to match up with Davante Adams? I mean, who in
they're
the
not going to match anybody up with them. They can't.
They don't do that.
Yeah.
They've never done that with Vrabel as the coach, have a corner travel with a receiver, which means there's a legitimate chance that we're going to see Davante Adams matched up with Trey Avery and safety help. The problem is that if the Titans can't get a pass rush, then they'll have to figure out a way to manufacture a pass rush, which means they'll have to blitz a safety. And then if they blitz a safety, then they don't have the safety over the top. And if the safety doesn't get home on the blitz, Derek Carr is just going to throw it over Trey Avery or Caleb Farley's head. Touchdown, Raiders.
Well, this was my fear before the season even started. It was the offensive line, but I think that was everybody. Everybody had that question. But my fear from day one was they don't have enough depth and experience at the cornerback position, and you're asking a guy in Caleb Farley, who you drafted in the first round, to be one of your number one corners, and this guy just started playing corner, and from what I've seen, he is not a cornerback.
He's not a corner.
He's just not. I don't care. You can't make a banana an orange no matter how much you try to wish it to be an orange. It's just not. It's a banana. Well, Caleb Farley is not a corner. No matter how you try to wish that he's a corner, he's more of a safety, or throw him back at the wide receiver position. He knows that, but he's not a corner. So that position is rearing its ugly head right now, the lack of experience and the lack of depth.
Here's what bothers me about Farley is that Farley, in my opinion, does not have one discernible skill. Like, for instance, you two had legitimate skills. Uh-huh. You could run deep, and there's not a DB in the league that could cover with you if the quarterback got time, Chris.
Thank you.
Derek, you quick with the feet, lateral. They could not. They'd have to come up, press you. You'd go around them. He doesn't have a skill. He's not fast. He's not really strong.
Well,
he doesn't
play
big.
He was fast.
It doesn't matter what they said. He never ran.
Exactly.
How are you going to tell if the guy's fast? He's got a back injury. He got surgery on his back. So he's not fast. He's not. He has terrible ball skills. He lacks game awareness. He's not a good tackler. Other than being tall, there's nothing that he offers to this team that, in my opinion, benefits him playing corner against a guy like Devontae Adams.
Well, now that, you know, they had their, you know, a few cornerbacks down before the season even started. Now Fulton's down. I think he's back up today. Is he playing today?
A little bit.
Fulton is going to give it a go. He's going to give it a go.
Well, that's going to be a big plus for them because
hamstring.
Because if he can't go, if he's limited with that hamstring,
yeah.
I mean,
come on, you can't.
With the hamstring, with the defensive back, running back, and a receiver, you have hamstring problems.
You're done.
I'm going to be honest with you guys. I think cornerback is the most overrated position in the NFL.
Corners,
hard. And I'm going to tell you why. How many times in your careers did you guys feel like you were open and maybe even open for a touchdown, mm-hmm. and then when you looked at the tape, the quarterback just didn't have time to see you or couldn't see you or something like that, and you looked at it and you thought, oh, my God, I had Champ Bailey beat, or I had Deion Sanders beat, or I had one of these elite corners beat in your careers. How many times on the tape would you look at it and say, I had Charles Woodson beat?
All the time.
Oh, I had Charles beat all the time.
Okay. See, that's what I'm saying. So the Titans played Kansas City last year and had to start Greg Maben at corner.
Uh-huh.
And Patrick Mahomes had a worse passer rating at 62.3 mm-hmm. than Ryan Tannehill had in the AFC divisional playoff against the Bengals. Mm-hmm. But it was because the pass rush yep. was in Patrick Mahomes' face the whole time. I mean, no disrespect to Samari Roll because he was a good player. But you guys remember that when you had Javon Curse and –
it makes their job easy.
Yep. The pass rush, in my opinion, makes the secondary. And so while we can sit here and complain about Trey Avery or whoever's going to be out there against Devontae Adams, the key to stopping Devontae Adams is to not let Derek Carr throw the ball. The problem is they've got a $17 million pass rusher in Landry who's out. They got a $19 million pass rusher in Bud who's out. And so the entire offensive line can focus on Simmons. And then that's going to – you got $40 million in pass rushers that's out. And we're going to hope that Weaver, a fourth-round backup, can go out there and give them that kind of production. And he just can't. And that's how Josh Allen just sits back there patting the ball and just waits for Stephon Diggs to get open and then just throws it as far as he can. And Derek Carr can do the same thing today, and that scares me.
But it exposes your weakness. I mean, the thing about it is if you got some corners that can't cover, because when you're out there, when you have a good pass rush, you don't have to cover that long.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But if the pass rush doesn't get there, then now your skills show up. And we're seeing that with Caleb Farley. Caleb Farley, man, I watched Diggs run like a little post and stop. Caleb ran way down the field because he doesn't have the hips as a corner to stop and plan and come back. So things like that are getting exposed because you don't have a pass rush.
Jake Kumerow is their fifth wide receiver in Buffalo. Uh-huh. And there was one play where he just ran. Like, it wasn't even a double move. It wasn't anything. He just ran past Farley and just boop, popped it right over the top to him.
That position is their Achilles heel. And they're never, especially now, they're never going to be able to generate the pass rush that they want because, obviously, Harold Landry and Dupree is not playing. But you also have two cornerbacks that nobody respects.
Mm.
You know, they feel that, you know, the defensive line can't get to us. We're going to go at those corners wide because they hadn't proven they can cover. They lack awareness on the field, ball skills. They're young and they're inexperienced. So be looking for Oakland to take shots every opportunity they get. They're going to try to methodically move the ball down the field with their run and their pass. And if the Titans can't get to Carr, then it's going to be a long day because those defensive backs, I like McQuarrie. He's a good player, but he's a young player.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about this, too, is the communication. And I'm going to ask you a question to see if we're all on the same page. But that post that Diggs ran, whose fault was it? Was it Avery's fault or was it Byard's fault?
It was both.
Because the thing about it is Avery shading outside. Even though, Diggs had a condensed split, he still stayed in his third. He got an outside stem, gave him a head fake, and Byard been on the second receiver on the right, but he's supposed to stay in his third. So that's it's the communication.
That's when he has to know as a safety. And I said this before the game last week. Those guys, it's going to be imperative for those safeties to communicate with those young corners. And if you know Byard, which he does, that you got a young corner over here going against Stephon Diggs, there's no way in on God's green earth that you're biting on that in route. Let them have the in route. You make sure you don't give up the deep post route. You can hit the in route. We can make the tackle. It's a big game, but not a touchdown. Well, when you bite on that in route, it's a touchdown over the top.
Now, I already started the show off today saying I don't think Kyle Phillips is going to play, but that Hilliard and Fulton are going to try to give it a go in warm-ups. We'll take a look at who's in and who's out. We'll do that on the other side right here, live from Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge out here in Germantown, the perfect spot for the pregame, even if you're on your way to the stadium. Because the other day, I literally just hopped in my car right after the pregame show, and I got into the stadium before kickoff. It is fantastic. Right here, it's a pregame show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Time now to take a look at the injury report. We are live out here at Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge out here in Germantown, the perfect pregame spot to get you ready for the Titans and the Raiders. Out for the Titans today, wide receiver Kyle Phillips is inactive with a shoulder injury. Defensive back Hugo Amadi, who Mike Vrabel had already ruled out. Running back Julius Chestnut. Defensive back Andrew Adams, whoever the hell that is. Outside linebacker Bud Dupree. Outside linebacker Ola Adeniyi are out today for the Titans. Taylor Lewan was placed on injured reserve yesterday. Wyatt Ray was added to the active roster. That means Phillips is out. Hilliard and Fulton are in. Yeah. Chris Sanders, what do we make of that?
You know, the one thing that's going to hurt the Tennessee Titans is Kyle Phillips. He's one of the bright spots. I know he had a couple of muff punts. But to beat this Raiders team, you need a guy that's going to move the chains. And he moves the chains. He catches those balls on third down. And when you eliminate him, who is Ryan Tannehill going to really throw on third down? And then secondly, you know, Dupree is out. So where's the pass rush going to come out? You got Landry's out. Now you got Dupree out. So those two guys being out, I think it's going to be tough for the Tennessee Titans to get a victory.
Not having Kyle Phillips is going to be big on the offensive side of the ball. Because he's that one guy, other than I believe Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, and he hadn't gotten many opportunities either. But I think he's and I know how you feel about him, Jared. I think he's
a backup.
Yeah, he is a backup. You're right, and you're starting to slowly see them put Treylon Burks in more. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the comfort level, you can see Tannehill starting to get it with Burks, but he has it with Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. He has it with Kyle Phillips. Now you take away his chain mover, a guy that he can look to. Because each time he's thrown it to Kyle Phillips, he's been open.
He's
now
there,
he's dropped two, but he's been open in the zone. So losing him is going to be big to that offense in regards to, you know, when it's second and seven or third and five. He's their chain mover. He's the guy that everybody now on defense is looking at. So he's getting everybody's attention. And not because he's just – this all-world wide receiver, but because he's the chain mover, everybody's attention goes toward Kyle Phillips, and that leaves Treylon Burks open or Robert Woods or the tight end Hooper. So not having him in the offense and in their scheme, especially on third down, is going to be a big miss for Ryan Tannehill. Now, on defense, we know.
Yeah.
Not having Harold, Dupree, that's just huge, man. Yep. It's just – I can't tell you how much – that means to that Titans team not to have not one, but both of their pass rushers.
$40 million worth of players that's on the bench.
Yeah, and just like, you know, going back to what Derek is talking about, when you're talking about Phillips, when the rush is coming, you got to have a slot receiver to get in and out of his cuts because the rush is coming. Who in the slot can get in and out of the cuts and run those choice routes to do that to keep those chains moving? Oh, there's nobody.
So I think that they're going to have to utilize Hooper as kind of that short.
Yeah, but can he move, though? Is he that type of guy, though?
I mean, I don't think he's shifty like Phillips, but I do think that he can get open. And plus, he's not going to have a defensive back on him. We would assume it'd probably be a linebacker on him. But I'm not so worried about that. What I have kind of gathered, I'm trying to think of the right way to say this. You know, like Stephen A. Smith saying that he's not going to report on what the Celtics coach did, but he wants everybody out there to know that when it comes out that he knows. Josh Gordon's going to play today.
Uh-huh.
And I think they're going to try to hit Josh Gordon on the deep ball.
Okay. Got to.
Because I think they expect the Raiders to move everybody into the box to stop Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. And now, here's the difference between what I think they're going to do and what I think how that's going to work out. I know they're going to try to hit Josh Gordon with the deep ball.
Uh-huh.
Vrabel basically indicated that in a press conference this week when they asked him why Josh Gordon didn't play more than two snaps against the Bills, and he said the game didn't dictate it. And then Paul Kaharsky was trying to figure out why, like, what is the game, you know, dictate it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, no, they knew they couldn't block Buffalo to get Josh Gordon down the field. Mm-hmm. I think in this game, they are going to try to throw the deep ball, and they are going to try to throw it to Josh Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't think Josh Gordon can run anymore. So the idea of throwing him the deep ball, I mean, it'd be like putting Chris Sanders out there right now and saying, hey, man, I know 20 years ago, Chris, you were the best deep ball catcher in the league. Unfortunately, no disrespect to Chris, but.
Hey, Chris still think he can
man, I got two routes, a hitch route, and I can run to the bank, get my check, and I'm retired. That's my routes. That's my routes right there. That's my routes, baby.
And I think that those are Josh Gordon's routes right now. But I think they're going to try to throw the ball deep to Josh Gordon today. What do you guys make of that?
Well, they're going to have to open up this defense. They have to show that they can consistently make plays down the field. And what better way to try to do that? Because you know that at some point in the game, more than once, they're going to be singled up man-to-man.
Mm-hmm.
That's why – to me, if you see that as a quarterback, you need to audible. You need to check and take two go routes and make sure that you have either Josh Gordon or Treylon Burks out there on the field. When you do that, they're going to try to get Treylon Burks the ball down the field. They're going to try to get Josh Gordon the ball down the field. Even if they take two or three shots, say they hit on one with each one of them, that backs that defense up now. Now they can't load the box on Derrick Henry. But it's going to be critical that they do it early.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be, oh, we finally do it in the second half. No, the game might be out of reach by then. You need to do it early, back that defense up, take them out of the box, and give Derrick Henry some room to run.
You know, it all depends on what the Raiders' defensive line does. If they're getting pressure with just four men, they're just going to keep a safety over top and take that away.
Oh, they get pressure with four-man games.
It's over. So now if Derrick Henry starts gashing them, then they got to drop a safety down, and now you start to get those one-on-one coverages. And you just like what Derrick said, man, you got to take advantage of even if, okay, say they go in cover two, they scroll and go to cover three, or they come up and play one high. Tannehill needs to check out of that immediately and say, 1, 2, 3, I'm throwing it to one of those big guys outside. So they're going to have to do something like that.
Here's who's out for the Raiders. Wide receiver Hunter Renfrow has a concussion. He actually fumbled on the last play of the game. The Cardinals ran it in for a touchdown in overtime last week. He got concussed in the play. Linebacker Denzel Perriman, who is their run linebacker, Jayon Brown is their other inside linebacker. Safety Trayvon Morig. Center Andre James. Running back Britton Brown. Defensive tackle Neil Farrell Jr. And offensive tackle Jackson Barton are out today for the Raiders. What do we make of Hunter Renfrow out? Mac Hollins is their number two wide receiver. He's more of a vertical threat to pair with Adams. That is a big loss, though, the reliable slot receiver for Derek Carr.
Yeah, it is, but they still have a tight end. And they still
and they got
have,
a really good tight end.
Waller. They still got Waller, and they still got arguably the best receiver in the National Football League in Devontae Adams. So, yes, it's going to be a loss from the standpoint of, you know, Derek Carr likes to hit that slot guy. He likes to get him moving on these switch routes or these option routes, and he's a mismatch for your third corner, your linebacker. But as long as you got Devontae Adams and as long as you got Waller, then that still gives the threat of we can still pass the ball down the field. And I could put Devontae Adams in the slot, and he still has enough juke in him, or he has enough quickness to get in and out of those breaks and to beat that defensive back or that linebacker on those short intermediate routes.
Yeah, just like with Phillips with the Tennessee Titans, he was that chain mover. Renfrow's that same guy. When it comes to third down, he gets in that slot and runs those choice routes and gets open and keeps the chain moving. So, yeah, that's a big loss for the Raiders. But just like what you guys are saying, they still have some top dogs with Waller and Devontae Adams, the guys that can still make plays on the perimeter. So, even though that Renfrow's not there, I still think they can make some plays.
As far as chain moving is concerned, how important is the return of Dontrell Hilliard?
Oh, it's huge because he's He's a matchup problem for opposing defenses. He's the one guy at the running back position that you can, you know, do screens out of the backfield with, send him on wheel routes, angle routes, and then also you can line him up in the slot and get him on a mismatch with the linebacker. So he was the one guy within that offense, at least from the running back standpoint, that can be a chain mover without being handed the ball like a running back. You can, you know, pretty much put him anywhere on the field, and he's going to make a play for you. And it was more evident in the last game that the Titans played. He was one of their long big plays.
Yeah, I think he can be huge, and this may sound kind of crazy, but if they start bringing pressure, he runs those little flare routes. He runs the little flare routes to catch it and let him make plays in space. He may not make plays down the field, but if he catches the ball on the flare and get a first down, he keeps those chains moving.
Chris Sanders, Derek Mason, we'll chat with TD. Teron Davenport is at the stadium. What did he see from Fulton and Hilliard with their hamstrings that made them active today? And what are the Titans going to do at outside backer with Bud Dupree and Ola Adeniyi out? TD will join us next, right here live from Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge out here in Germantown, the perfect spot for the pregame show to come on out and join us out here and get ready. And they got all the TVs for all the games coming up today here at Sonny's. It's the pregame show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are live at Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge out here in Germantown. Once again on the pregame show, getting you set for the Titans and the Raiders. And again, Sonny's football specials Monday, Thursday, and Sunday, because those are the big football days. And of course, all day on Sunday, $20 Montucky cold snack beer buckets, $8 Dickel 8-year bourbon drinks, $7 Rise and Shine shots, and $5 Bloody Marys. Teron Davenport is live at Nissan Stadium, ESPN.com. He is with us here on the program. So, TD, let's start with this question. No Bud Dupree, no Ola Adeniyi, Wyatt Ray, who we've seen over the years numerous times added to the active roster. What is the Titans' plan at outside backer in order to get some pressure on Derek Carr today?
Well, you mentioned Wyatt Ray. You know, he's going to be someone. He's actually right in front of me warming up right now. I think you have to remember they like to use a lot of multiple fronts. So they're not always going to go pure 3-4. You got a stack of defensive linemen, so they'll use a lot of those guys. I would expect more DeMarcus Walker, Kevin Strong, and Naquan Jones in there. And then in addition to that, move Jeffrey Simmons around. I think we'll see him a little more at 5-6.
TD, good news for the Titans. We see that Dontrell Hilliard and Christian Fulton are a go today. How did they look, not just today when you saw them warm up, but how did they look during the week with practice with the hamstring?
Yeah, well, you know, Hilliard looked good on Friday, you know, in some of the stuff that they did, what we're able to see. Fulton, he's good to go, absolutely good to go. He wrapped up just now, just a little bit of extra work, backpedaling, and you know, when you're backpedaling and that transition from your pedal, like that speed that you have to generate, a lot of that is your hamstrings and quads, you know, the hamstring is the issue. He's fine, and I talked to him earlier this week, and he told me that he didn't have any issues. He feels good. That week of rest was really good for him.
Now, TD, now that Kyle Phillips is a no-go, do you expect to see more two tight ends, even on third down?
That's a really good question, because that's what I've kind of been considering. Okay, what do they do, you know what I mean, with Kyle Phillips, their primary slot guy, out? I think they will use a little more 12 personnel. This is a team that has always done that anyway. And you look at Tim Kelly coming in, and that brings the likelihood to do it even more. So Chig Okonkwo, Austin Hooper, you know, they've used those guys in the slot. So that's definitely an option. I think you also have to look at when they go 11 personnel, right? So you got Nick Westbrook, McKinney, and Robert Woods. These guys know all three positions. Treylon Burks told me that he knows them, but he's still, like, you know, working through getting more comfortable. But I would imagine 11 personnel, that's the package. I don't know that I like Nick Westbrook, McKinney, or Robert Woods in the slot as much as Phillips on third down, though.
Absolutely, because that guy on third down to me needs to be a shifty guy.
Exactly.
It needs to be able to, because that offensive line, I don't think will be able to hold up if they add someone like Treylon Burks or one of these other bigger guys in a slot to work that area. Now, looking at Caleb Farley, obviously Fulton's back. You got McQuarrie on the outside. Do you expect to see a lot of Caleb Farley? Because what we've seen of him hasn't been that good.
Yeah, it's going to have to be a lot of them because the Raiders work a lot of 11 personnel, three receiver sets. And, you know, even with Hunter Renfrow being down, Keelan Cole is the guy that's going to step up in the slot. He's not a bad receiver. You know, he's definitely not a Hunter Renfrow. But regardless, you go 11 personnel, you got to match that with your nickel pack. And remember, Ugo Amadi is out. So their nickel package is, in fact, McQuarrie and Fulton. McQuarrie to take on that nickel role. And one of the things that Mike Vrabel said about Amadi is that he liked his ability, you know, to withstand that physicality that comes with playing that nickel position. I'll tell you this, Josh Jacobs, he warmed up. He looks like he's going to be good to go. And that guy runs very, very powerful. So that's going to be something interesting to watch McQuarrie coming up and doing that. But as for Farley, you know, it's really a confidence thing. He really looked shaky on Monday after the game, but then talking to him throughout the week, he seemed like that confidence is back there. And as you know, cornerbacks, really anybody in the league, you know, once you lose your confidence, it is a little bit troubling. So hopefully for his sake, he can get back to where he was, you know, as one of the top prospects.
You know, TD, just looking at the Tennessee Titans wide receivers, I know they caught a couple of passes, like, you know, Treylon Burks 4 for 37, and they haven't had no explosive plays. With Josh Gordon being activated today, do you think he can provide some of that explosive plays downfield?
Yeah, he absolutely can. And, you know, I talked to him on Friday, and I give him a lot of credit, right, for everything he's been through. He's a very mature person, you know, and I asked him about going to the quarterback and wanting to get targets when you're open, right, and telling them that you're open. And he said that's not the way you do it. And he mentioned that there's other things that you have to do, right, as a receiver. As Derek Mason loves, blocking. But no, he also said, you know, being a guy to run those clear out routes, you know, and help out for other guys and how that can lead to opportunities. So I think definitely that's something that could happen. He said he's not trying to force anything. Mm-hmm. Another thing I really like that he said, that he's just looking to fall into a role and not impose himself, but just get in where he fits in.
Yeah, you know, with special teams being atrocious the last couple of weeks, you have a missed, you know, field goal. Then also the punt returner kind of muffed two punts last week. With Kyle Phillips out, who's going to take reins on that position to try to help the Tennessee Titans at least just catch the ball and also make some plays?
You know, it's crazy. That's the point that this team is at, where it's, hey, listen, man, catch the football. We'll worry about the yards later. We got to field the football first. You know, and that's unfortunate, but, you know, it's probably going to be Robert Woods, Amani Hooker. Those guys have, you know, been the ones that were back there before. And you saw them in Buffalo. So it's probably going to be either of those guys. I asked Craig Aukerman about Treylon Burks, and he said, you know, that's the guy. He went to him and said he wanted to be the returner. So that's something you may see, but I highly doubt it. So you're looking at those two.
Well, not only that, Craig Aukerman went to the podium, TD, on Friday and said, who wants to ask me about punt returner? And I give TD credit.
Look, you get ahead of it. You get ahead of it. And what they say, you got to laugh to keep from crying.
Drop another punt. There won't be any laughing around here. TD at the stadium. TD, great stuff. Good appreciate stuff, it. We'll see your breakdowns after the game.
Appreciate you, Sam.
For sure. Appreciate you guys. All right, Tahil.
TD on the program.
That's my guy, man.
I will say this. The Aukerman thing, Friday, goes up to the podium and just says, you know, all right, who wants to ask me about punt returns? Ha, 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 ha.
He knew it was coming.
Let me say this. If they drop another punt, that is no laughing matter around here.
Oh, no, it's not. Well, you won't be able to blame Kyle Phillips because he won't be in the game.
Here's the thing that bothers me about special teams, uh-huh. Which since he's been the special teams coach, which was when Malarkey was the coach, it's always something new on special teams. Mm-hmm. But they have now drafted two guys with being the team's punt returner in mind when they drafted them, Adoree Jackson and Kyle Phillips. and neither guy could do it. Now, I don't know if you return punts and kicks at Michigan State or anything like that, but I'm going to guess they probably drafted you and they told you, Derek, we want you to return kicks.
Yeah.
And you were able to do that.
Mm-hmm. The best.
And if they draft two guys to return punts and kicks and they can't return them, at that point, isn't the guy who's coaching them on how to do this maybe worth discussing?
Well, it's either, you know, it's either you're coaching it or you're allowing it to happen.
Where'd you learn that?
Being around a bunch of coaches. I was baffled, too, on the whole Adoree Jackson thing. Because watching Adoree Jackson in college, to me, he was the second coming of Deion Sanders returning punts. The kid was electric. Now, if you haven't seen Adoree Jackson return punts in college, you need to YouTube it.
Oh,
the kid was phenomenal.
Yeah.
So I just thought, hey, he come in here and he's going to be the same thing, you know, a la Pac-Man Jones. He come in here and, yeah, and he'll figure it out and then he goes. But he never did. And he muffed punts and he fumbled and he could just never – he had the talent but couldn't get, you know, couldn't get the ball in his hands long enough or secure it long enough to even make or make the right decision not to go back more than 8 yards. So they eventually had to change that. Kyle Phillips, to me, he's a good returner. Once he gets the ball in his hands, he's a good returner. Like, he's averaging over 12 yards a punt return. But he has to get that Buffalo game out of his mind.
Absolutely.
Very quickly. I know tonight he's not playing. I get that. But when he does come back, he has to get that Buffalo game out of his
mind. So you're still committed to giving him
another chance? Yeah, I'm still committed to giving him another chance. But if he shows any shakiness, then we might have to go in another direction.
You know, I just think the difference in when you're in college, you have more room.
Yeah.
And in the pros, you got to make a decision quick. That's why you're one of the best returners I've ever seen. I'm not just saying it because I like you. But in the pros, you got to catch it and make a quick decision. And in college, you have enough time to say, okay, they're coming and I can make a move. It's a totally different ball game in a pro level.
On the other side, picks to click. And people are going to have to click today. If they're going to beat the Raiders with no tackles and no pass rushers.
Oh, it's that time already?
They are going to have to click. And so we will take a look at that. We'll take a look at the sports books. We got Mike Vrabel's keys, and we'll make our game day predictions. And that is coming up next, all right here on the pregame show, live from Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge out here in Germantown, the spot for the pregame show. Jared, Chris, D Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. It is time for Picks to Click, presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment. I don't remember who we picked to click last week against Buffalo, but I'll tell you guys that it doesn't matter. I know I picked Amani Hooker to click and that he almost had an interception, and that might have been the best play of the game for the Titans against the Buffalo Bills. Chris Sanders, we start with you offensively. Who's got a click today for the Titans?
I'm going to go with Treylon Burks. Treylon Burks needs to be big in this game. If you look at the last game they played with the Buffalo Bills, there was no down-the-field plays. There was no explosive plays. And Treylon Burks has to step up. He needs to do what he did at Arkansas, taking the screen and taking it the distance. He has to play big on this offense for the Tennessee Titans to win.
My pick to click is just the tight ends. I think now that Kyle Phillips is not there for this game, they're going to have to be an integral part in that mid-range passing game that Tannehill loves. You know, they're going to play man-to-man outside. They're going to make it tough on the wide receivers. I think your mismatch is with your tight end. So they're going to have to get those, whether it's Chig or Austin Hooper, they're going to have to get those guys involved early. Forget the whole Swain thing.
I was going to say, any disrespect to Jeff Swain here?
Let him block. If that's what he does, let him block.
Does he do that?
I don't know if he does that well. Yeah. So that's my pick to click on offense. It's the tight ends.
Okay, so I'm going to do the same thing Derek did here. The Floyd Reese, I'm going to pick a group instead of one guy because I got to be that way. Dennis Daly and Nicholas Petit-Ferrer, a.k.a. PT. Those guys are going up against Max Crosby and Chandler Jones. And I was thinking about this, that if I were the Raiders, would I stick one of those guys over Aaron Brewer and just have him knock Aaron Brewer back? And then I realized, no, they're not going to do that. They're going to put their pass rushers against the Titans' tackles because they think, and probably rightfully so, that their pass rushers should dominate these two tackles. And what the Raiders, because Brewer is an interior offensive lineman, Tannehill is not going to be able to step up in the pocket, which means that PT and DD need to be able to hold their blocks against these elite pass rushers for the Raiders. I don't think they can do it.
Yeah.
So I'm not making my pick to click as a I predict that they can do this. I am telling you, if they want to win this game, the Titans cannot let the Raiders get home with four. And if they get beat on the outside, the Raiders are getting home with four, and the Titans are going to lose.
It's going to be a long day if that happens.
It's a long time coming.
But neither of y'all were willing to commit to DD and PT today as the
I mean, they have to play well.
Have to.
You know, that offensive line in general, like you said, Jared, but more importantly, those two ends got me, those two tackles, whether it be with the running back help chipping or them double teaming with the tight end or the guard. Those tackles are going to earn their money today.
I just want them to block the right guy. I mean, if you give me that, we're good.
I mean, here's the thing. Todd Downing, in his press conference this week, I thought he threw the offensive players under the bus a bunch. Uh-huh. But he was asked about the offensive line, and he was like, it's two things. It's communication and firing off the ball. And I watched the tape. It is absolutely knowing who to block and being able to block it. That I would agree with. Defensively, who's got to click, Chris Sanders?
I am going with Autry. The reason why I'm going with Autry is because Dupree is out, Landry's out, and we got to figure out to put pressure on Carr, because if we don't put pressure on Carr, he's going to sit back there and pick you apart, because I think he's one, in my opinion, he's one of the top 15 quarterbacks in the league. So Autry's got to be huge. He's got to figure out a way to make Derek Carr get out of the pocket. Don't let him step up and make those throws. Autry's my guy.
I'm going with a group again.
Oh, no.
I'm just going with – but I hear what you're saying. I understand that. Mm-hmm. But I'm going with the defensive line. Minus those two bookends, not having them in this game, it's going to be critical for, you know, Walker and Big Jeff to get to the passer. They're going to have to. They're going to have to not allow – Carr to step up in the pocket. Mm-hmm. If he's able to step up in the pocket, it's going to be a very long day for
which is what
Titans.
He wants to do.
Exactly. He wants to step up in the pocket. Yeah. You got to get him going side to side.
Yes, sir.
That's why I say it's going to be critical for that defensive line. Simmons, Tier Tart, or Walker. Those guys are going to have to get pushed up the middle and make Carr, you know, exit out either the left or the right side of the offensive line. They can't allow him to step up.
So a name you brought up that I think is really important is Tier Tart. Mm-hmm. Because of all the bad things that we're seeing from the Titans this year, I think Tier Tart's turning into a really good player
yes,
on the defensive line. And to Chris's point about if Autry's going to go outside, which I agree. Mm-hmm. I think Autry's going outside and Weaver's going outside. Mm-hmm. And that means that Simmons and Tart are probably going to be inside. Tart's going to have to do his job, not just in order to free up Autry, but also to stop Josh Jacobs in the running game. Because if the Raiders can establish the run with Jacobs, I don't know how the Titans can defend them.
They can't. He's going to get a lot of single blocks, I would dare to say, because a lot of the double team blocks and sift blocks will go toward Jeffrey Simmons. And tandem block. So Tier Tart will get his opportunities to affect the quarterback, either, you know, pressures or sacks. Or, like I said last week, if you can't get to the quarterback, throw your hands up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, knock a ball or two down. That's why I think it's going to be critical for those three guys up front to get pressure in Carr's face so he can't step up.
So I was going to go on the defensive line, but since you two both hit that, I'm going to take a group of players, too, here. But this isn't about me picking them to click. Mm-hmm. This is – it's time to put up or shut up. Uh-huh. And that's Zach Cunningham and David Long. Mm. Specifically, Zach Cunningham. Yeah. Because to your point about Josh Jacobs, there's going to be a lot of single blocks, which means the linebackers are going to have to tackle the running back. And the linebackers are going to have to help cover Darren Waller. And the linebackers cannot bite on the play-action fakes. And the linebackers cannot put more of a responsibility on the secondary than they're already going to have covering Devontae Adams and Mac Hollins. Because if the Titans have to bring Kevin Byard down, then the Titans are in serious trouble today. Yep. They need both Hooker and Byard to be able to get back and help out those young corners with the lack of a pass rush. So it's easy to be mad at guys like Trey Avery. But Trey Avery's not supposed to be able to cover Stephon Diggs man for man.
Exactly.
He's an undrafted rookie free agent. Zach Cunningham makes real money in this league.
Yeah.
It's time when he's got somebody wrapped up in the backfield, you got to tackle him. And so I'm looking at those linebackers today saying, you guys have to do your part for the defense because everybody else is stretched so thin.
Yeah, they're going to have to, you know, because this Titans team, from a defensive standpoint, we talked about this earlier, this Titans defense is a really, really good defense when they're healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But if you take one or two guys off that defense, they go from being a really good defense to maybe an okay defense. But these guys now, they're going to have to earn their keep because, you know, there's going to be a lot of double team of Big Jeffrey Simmons. Mm-hmm. But that's going to leave those linebackers. Like you said, Cunningham has to earn his keep now.
Yeah.
He has to.
And he's been stinking it up.
He has to earn his keep now. He has to make do on, you know, hey, Titans brought him back at $10 million. So he has to start playing like the player they thought he could be and can be. Because if he don't, you're going to have a
– Rashawn Evans all over
again. Yeah, Rashawn Evans all over again. What they're going to do is double-team Jeffrey, you know, possibly even double-team Weaver, and they're going to want to get on those linebackers. And if Cunningham or Long can't, you know, step up and play big this game, not to say that – I'm not saying they won't, but if they don't, it's going to be a long day.
Yeah, and they got to read their keys. I mean, I know that sounds kind of like coach talk, but they have to read their keys and know when it's run or pass. And then another thing that I looked at when I was watching the film, they got to start getting off blocks. They have to get off blocks. If the running back is getting to the next level and you're still on your block, that's a problem.
On the other side, we'll take a look at Mike Vrabel's keys to the game.
What you think?
Are they our
what
keys?
You think? Or your keys?
I will tell you, they're the kind of keys that I think if we were just sitting and shooting the breeze with Vrabel, and we said, Mike, here's what I think, and we repeated his keys to him, he would scoff and say that we have no idea what we're talking about. That's how I feel about those. But we will get into Mike Vrabel's keys to the game. Plus, we will make our game day predictions. Can the Titans pull off a huge upset? And that's what it would be today. A huge upset against the Las Vegas Raiders. We'll get into that. Once again, we are live at Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge out here in Germantown. It is a fun-loving neighborhood hangout that is serving up good mood food, power-packed drinks, and an action-packed atmosphere. And we got the atmosphere here today with Bar Games Galore, located in the heart of Germantown's neighborhood here in Nashville, a few blocks from Nissan Stadium. And I guarantee you that I will leave here when the pregame show is over, and I will be in my seat at kickoff. That's how I love coming here as well. It's a great atmosphere for sports. They've got cabanas, each equipped with their own TVs, perfect for private watch parties. And again, they've got the football specials all day today, $20 Montucky Cold Snack Beer Buckets, $8 Dickel 8-Year Bourbon Drinks, $7 Rise and Shine Shots, and $5 Bloody Marys. It's the pregame show, 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Be sure after the game, tune it right here, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We'll have the post-game show live from Landshark Bar and Grill and Sportsbook in Margaritaville on Broadway. Jonathan Hutton and Chad Withrow will be breaking down the Titans and the Raiders when this one is over. And the post-game show is presented by Renner's Warehouse, Two Rivers Ford. Custom order your new Ford from True Rivers Ford. And Superbook Sports, voted the number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Let's take a look at Mike Vrabel's keys to the game here for the Titans. The number one is the Titans have developed an identity over the years, and that when the times are tough, Mike Vrabel says the Titans need to lean on that identity.
Well, I mean, I think it just you think about every time throughout all of our lives when things haven't really been great, you know, I mean, we've all faced adversity, is you know, you rally around what you believe in your core beliefs and your family, you know, people that you trust. And that was what my message was, is just going, you know, doing the things that we believe in, that we know, you know, works.
What do we think that actually means? What are the things they believe? What are the things they trust that they can rely on today against the Raiders?
Okay, this is what I believe he's saying. They because this is the foundation, and we've talked about the foundation of the Tennessee Titans. Really good defense, run the ball. But here's the problem with leaning on what you trust. What you think you trust, you really don't trust, because you don't trust the people that are in the position to do the things that you used to trust. The offensive line and running the ball is something that no matter when things went wrong, the Titans leaned on the running game. They trust the running game. And just about every time they were right. I can't trust the running game. I can't trust this offensive line. I don't see how Vrabel sincerely trusts this offensive line and going back to the foundation of the Tennessee Titans. The defense, they might be okay, but the offense, from what we've seen the last 2 weeks, they can't just lean on a run game like they used to.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the last couple of years, we knew the identity of the Tennessee Titans. Run first, pass second. What is it this year? I mean, the running game, you know, you had Henry last week, what, 13 for 25? You can't lean on that. You got the offensive line that's struggling. They're getting penetrated. They're getting beat on every play. So what's the identity of the team? And I think when you get to the first and second game, you need to start to figure that out. We're in our third game right now. We don't know the identity of the Tennessee Titans offense.
Right now, Derrick Henry's got 107 yards on 34 carries, averaging 3.1 yards per carry. I've watched the tape, the end zone tape, of the two games that Derrick Henry has run the ball in. Derrick's not the problem.
No, he's not. And anyone that actually looks at, watches the game, and you don't even have to really understand it. All you see is, okay, penetration, no hole, penetration, side to side. He's not getting an opportunity to gain any steam. You know, the last game, the Buffalo game, Lewis Riddick was saying it the whole game. What Buffalo wants to do is to make Derrick Henry stop his feet and then start back up. They did exactly that, and Derrick couldn't get going. What do you think the Oakland Raiders are thinking? They're thinking, do not let him get started, because if he can't get started, then he can't ramp back up. If you stop his feet and make him readjust, then it works to our favor. That offensive line hasn't given, on a consistent basis, haven't given Derrick Henry an opportunity to consistently get downhill. It's always stop, start, stop, start. Oh, downhill now, but stop, start, stop, start.
Yeah, that's why Todd Downing is struggling with calling plays. I mean, how can you call plays and get an identity with your running game if there's so much penetration in the backfield? There's not one or guys in the backfield. There's four and five guys in the backfield. So how are we expecting Derrick Henry to get going when somebody's at his feet when he's getting the ball at the point of attack?
That takes us to our second Mike Vrabel key. Mike Vrabel asked about the injuries on the offensive line. Taylor Lewan is out, which means Dennis Daly is in. Vrabel, can he get the same push that they would expect from the offensive line with a bunch of backups in there? Here's what Vrabel said.
I think everybody that we put out there is expected to do that.
Okay.
That's not a ringing endorsement of, yes, it will get done.
I was setting you guys up for that the whole time. When I started talking about the offensive line, I was waiting for that.
Oh, my goodness. He said, I expect and knowing is two different things.
Hold on. Let me set it up again. How about this? Mike Vrabel, here's my question for you. Your $15 million left tackle, who's not even really that good, is out, and you've got in a guy who the Carolina Panthers moved from tackle to guard. You've got a 270-pound left guard. You've got a rookie right tackle who doesn't know who to block all the time. And last year, or 2 years ago, you took a guy in the second round who you wanted to be your right tackle this year, can't play right tackle, isn't going to play left tackle, and can't play left guard. Do you expect them to be able to push guys like they did when Derrick Henry was running for 200 yards a game in the playoffs 2 years ago?
I think everybody that we put out there is expected to do that.
That doesn't show.
Oh, boy. That's coach
confidence.
Talk.
That tells me, listen, we're just inept at that position right now. And, you know, guys, we expect guys to go out there and do it, you know. In this league, we expect you to do certain things at your position. But it's not a definite. It's cloudy today. I expect it to rain, but will it rain? I don't know. The sun might come out again. Yeah. That's just like Vrabel. He expect those guys to get pushed, but hell, the starters wasn't getting pushed. So how you expect the backups to get pushed?
Yeah, it's kind of like getting married. You know, when you get married and he says, you say I do, You expected to get a kiss, exactly. But you don't know yet.
She might not give you a kiss.
She might not all like you. I'm just kidding. But to get back to what I was saying, what Derek was saying is, the key guy to this offensive line has to be Ben Jones. You have an inexperienced offense. He's got to make sure he communicates with everybody on that offensive line. If he can do that, then he can help them and make sure those guys in position to make the play, but they got to make the play.
Can I tell you what's crazy, too, after watching the tape about the offensive line, is that Nicholas Petit-Ferrer, who was probably the biggest question mark that we had going into the season, he really isn't playing that poorly.
No, he's not.
I mean, he's not. He doesn't know who to block most of the time, which they need to get figured out.
Yeah.
But I thought Nate Davis was horrendous against the Buffalo Bills, whiffing on some of these blocks. Ben Jones got a big penalty. Aaron Brewer's too little. And Dennis Daly's too slow. You know, Petit-Ferrer might be the only guy who actually has the talent to be able to do what they're asking him to do. Yeah. And Nate Davis does, but he just didn't do it last week.
Exactly. And that's why I truly believe as the season continues to go, Nicholas will get a lot better because he's doing a good job at run blocking. It's just like what you said in pass block. He just doesn't know, like, okay, do I pick up this guy on the stunt? Do on the twist? Who do I got? You know, are you helping me? That goes along with the communication. But I think he will be okay. Yeah, but this offensive line as a whole, before Taylor went out, they were not blocking well. Now that Taylor goes out, I mean, I don't see anything changing.
Go ahead.
I mean, just look at it when Derrick Henry got 2,000 yards. Even though different guys were switching in, everybody knew exactly what to do. Mm-hmm. If you look at this group right here, sometimes it's like what you're saying, guys are missing blocks, guys are not knowing their assignment, and that's a recipe for disaster.
Time now to take a look at the sports books presented by Superbook Sports, voted the number one sports book in Vegas. Download their app today. Right now, the Titans are 2-point underdogs against the Raiders, which is actually kind of surprising given the injuries the Titans are facing. 2-point underdogs. In order to win on the money line, the Raiders are minus 130. The Titans are plus 110, which means that it would not be a monumental upset, according to the sports books, if the Titans were able to do that. The over-under is 45.5 points, which means if the Titans score over 45 points, it's minus 110. And it's also minus 110 if they score under 46 points. So they're looking at a low-scoring game, Raiders -2. Time now to make our game day picks.
Ooh.
Who wins, final score, and why? We all got the Giants game wrong. We all got the Bills game right, except for Chris. We all got the Bills game right. Chris Sanders, we start with you. Who wins today, why, and what's the final score?
I hate to say this, but I'm going to go with the Las Vegas Raiders. And the reason why is because the Tennessee Titans struggled the last two games, and now they have a lot more injuries. You got Kyle Phillips out, you got Dupree out, and I just think that the defense is going to be hard to stop this Las Vegas offense. So even though I don't want to pick the Raiders, I got to go with the Raiders because I just think that they're the better team.
Final score?
21-17.
I want us to take a second here of the monumental occasion that is Chris Sanders picking against the Titans. I'm not sure that this has happened since 2018 when the Titans played the Jags and the Titans ended up winning 9-6 and Chris picked the Jags. And I think that's the last time that Chris Sanders has picked against the Titans. So Chris Sanders is officially picking against the Titans today. Derek Mason, 2-point favorite are the Raiders at Nissan Stadium. Titans, Raiders, who wins today and why?
Well, Derek Carr, Davante Adams, Darren Waller, Josh Jacobs. That's all I got to say. That's enough right there. The Titans don't have enough on defense, I believe, with the injuries to stop those guys. And not to mention the other guys that they have on that offensive side of the ball. Defensively, Raiders, I think because of the Titans' injuries on the offensive line, they're going to put an immense pressure on Ryan Tannehill. And they're going to force the Tennessee Titans to throw the football because they're going to stack that box. And they might, you know, if they feel they can get rushed with four guys, then they're going to do that too. They're going to mix it up and try to confuse that offensive line, which probably is not hard to do considering – you know, the youth on that offensive line and inexperience. So I'm picking the Raiders, Las Vegas Raiders, and, you know, I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think the Raiders win 23-14.
23-14?
Uh-huh.
I do think the Raiders are going to score a lot of points in this game. I just think that right now, given the Titans' injury situation, it's a bad matchup. The Titans don't have any offensive tackles against the Raiders' elite pass rushers. The Titans do not have any pass rushers against Davante Adams, Derek Carr, Darren Waller, and that crew. I'm going to go with the Raiders 38-17 today. I think it's going to be one of these games where the Titans really never have a chance. And I just think that it's not that the Titans aren't a good enough team to be able to beat the Raiders. I just don't think that they have the personnel today in order to do it. That's going to do it for us. For Chris,
yes, sir.
For Derek, we are done. The post-game show comes up following the game today live again from Margaritaville on Broadway in the Landshark Bar and Grill Sportsbook. Big shout-out and thanks to our friends out here at Sonny's Patio Pub and Refuge out here in Germantown. Once again, we will be here for every home game this season. We'll be out here at Sonny's. So come on out and join us throughout the course of the year. That's it for us. Enjoy the game right here, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.